Anyone else for the stack?
Yeah, Grace for the stack.
Go ahead, Grace.
I have comments about what Jim has been saying and also what you said, Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that some efforts should definitely be made to improve our on-air fundraising in various different ways, including training programmers, helping them figure out premiums that they can offer their audiences, et cetera. We get at least 80% to 90% of our revenue from on-air fundraising. It is the most efficient way to do fundraising. All of the other methods, except maybe for one of the very rare huge major donor influxes, which are very hard to come by, all the other, including major donor fundraising, all the other efforts are extremely labor-intensive and have not succeeded in providing significant income for Pacifica stations, any more income than about 10%. Those other things do produce maybe 10%, sometimes 20% of the total revenue, but they are not, as far as I can see, going to supplant our major way of fundraising, which is on-air fundraising. So I agree with Catherine that attention and effort should be made to figure out a way to have more programmers bring in more income rather than relying on a few programmers to bring in most of the income. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I think that if we change our programming to some extent in this election period, and what I have in mind in particular is, to some degree, we've branded ourselves as promoting a lack of electoral participation. There are enough shows, I know, on KPFK that discourage voting and participating in the electoral process. And I think if we refocus that and do voter education and explanation to audiences, we can get there's a huge amount of progressive money coming into the election cycle. And if we made an effort to explain that we believe in the democratic system, or some of us believe in the democratic system, and are willing to educate people on why it's important to participate, how to participate, how to parse the issues, explaining the various issues, I think that kind of effort would be appealing to certain politically oriented donors. So that's another thing. And I'm trying to think of what else. I think Ken has emotions, so if I think I had some other things in mind. There is another thing. We have seen our listenership improve at KPFK, and I think WBAI has as well. But it does not necessarily translate into an immediate increase in revenue. It may be that we need to do a little research on donor behavior. So, for instance, I believe that people who donate more than a small amount donate to things that they feel very, very committed to and attached to. I think in the past, our niche audiences provided a significant amount of support to our various stations. And that is programming that's very particular, that is very unique and iconoclastic, and that could only be heard on Pacifica stations and addressed a certain need that a niche in the society or community felt was very important to them. And I think that the concept, I mean, I watch tons of TV all the time, but I never have the urge to donate or to support those programming, that programming particularly, because it's kind of ubiquitous. Whereas if there was something that was a really vital concern to me, whatever it might be, I would probably be more amenable, more inclined to donate. So I think that the the pattern of donation and why people donate, how they donate, would be interesting in terms of how we design our programming. In terms of educating people in the import, also, I think that we need to look at our demographics. Sometimes when I'm listening to Pacifica programming, I feel that politically we're trying to reach people in a kind of a postgraduate sense. In other words, we're speaking to people who have incredible grounding in political concepts and information, whereas most of the population, even though they may be inclined to be progressive, can't understand our concepts or language. I think we need to have some of our programming captivate and engage and audiences in a way that doesn't speak down to them, but is understandable and more interesting and colorful than a talking heads kind of thing. I don't know how that's done, but maybe putting in humor or whatever. But I think that we should try to appeal to audiences who are not necessarily educated about politics. And I think that we try, our stuff is too geared to the cognoscenti and not to the general public out there. Okay, that's about all I have to say.
Interesting.
I think, Ken, are you ready with your motion?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
So let me just pull it up.
Can you read it and read it to us here? Yeah.
I hit send. So I sent it to a list of all the names I have. You know, I don't know if I got everybody, but probably most everybody. Okay. So this is called a motion on copyright policy. I want to have a caveat at the beginning. Let's try to get this approved without tuning it to perfection. Allow that to be done by the PNB. So now I'm going to read the motion, because if we start chewing it up, it's hard to do over the phone and so forth. Well, I mean, or it's, you know, give them a chance to fine-tune it at the PNB level. So here it goes. Motion on copyright policy and guidelines for Pacifica employees and programmers. The programming committee recommends that the Pacifica National Board approve and implement the following resolution. Whereas the laws and agencies involved in copyright compliance are complex and usually in a state of flux, whereas respect for copyright laws and the rights of authors and performers has always been a basic principle of the Pacifica Foundation, whereas the expansion of communications technology has broadened the diligence required to properly address oversight of copyright and intellectual property issues. Therefore, be it resolved that the National Office and the Executive Director are responsible for maintaining a current perspective on copyright and intellectual property laws, and is responsible, or I guess that should be, and are responsible, for creating and distributing guidelines and policies to Pacifica employees and broadcasters to ensure they follow relevant copyright and intellectual property laws and other related requirements. Be it further resolved that the executive director shall be responsible for providing a quarterly update regarding copyright requirements and via the actions of general managers and program directors at the stations and other business units, shall ensure by written affirmation that all Pacifica employees and broadcasters understand and will abide by Pacifica policy and procedures regarding copyright and intellectual property. Be it further resolved that an expense shall be added to the national budget not to exceed $5,000 per year for any necessary expert and or legal services to generate the stated policy and procedures, with the understanding that the initial actions in this area may be rudimentary, is still expected that the first comprehensive publishing of copyright policy and procedures shall be distributed to employees and broadcasters no later than July 1st, 2019, to be followed by updates on a quarterly basis. And that's the end of the motion, and I sent it to you. And there might be some little grammatical says R's instead of is or something. But that's it. And
okay.
So, I'm thinking about it, the first thing, I haven't had time to do this, but I would search the, just to motivate this, I would search the internet for a service that updates. Like, in other words, I have a service or services required on most websites where they search your website and look for bugs and malware and stuff, and they just go through and look through it. So there's probably a service that keeps people up to date on laws. Oh, we have, if you rent apartments, you usually belong to a service that issues you the kind of rental agreements that are up to date according to current contemporary laws in your area. So I think we need a service like that, and I don't think we should be paying more than $5,000 a year to get it, but we need something like that. And I just want to hang it on somebody's, put it around somebody's neck, that they got to get it done. And I think the appropriate person is the executive director. And he can pass it down the line to the general managers and the program directors and say, get this complied with. I don't want any more flaps about copyright. And the last thing was to put a reference here to the Programmer's Guide, page 51, in the Pacifica Employee Handbook. And it goes in there, and I haven't mentioned it in the motion, but in the handbook it talks a lot about who owns programs produced at the station, especially those produced by people who are paid employees. So I'm done talking about it, but I distributed the motion. I'm sure Jim and Grace and Tom got a copy, and Kathy.
Okay, so do we have a...
Everybody heard that.
Yeah, well, I heard it. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I saw
it. I wasn't on mute, was I?
No, we heard you.
Okay,
is there a second?
No second is needed in committees, but I would second.
Okay, all right. Are there any objections to this motion?
Could I make a friendly addition?
Oh, corrections.
I would argue that this should be incorporated in the first of these. If there are April meetings with staff going on in each station, and it may be too late to do this immediately, but something like this should be discussed immediately in each station's staff meeting that's occurring right now. Something like that.
So can you write that and send it to the group as the addendum?
All right, fine.
Okay, are there any objections to this motion?
Carol for the stack.
Carol, go ahead.
Yeah, I just really appreciate, Ken, how much work you did on that. And I just wanted to add, could we also have something about this added into the Pacifica Employees Handbook?
Does anyone want
Let me respond to that. Let me respond to that, okay? We already have a section in the Employees Handbook that covers copyright, and I took a scan through there, and it says in the handbook in about five or six places not to violate copyright law.
Okay.
And the issue isn't the telling people not to violate copyright law. It's the issue of what's the current requirements. Like, you can't step off the curb unless if a car is more than 100 feet, oh, they change it to 150 feet, or they change it to 25 feet. It's got to be contemporary. So, and it's one of those things that you have to have a service that keeps pointing it out, especially as Kathy iterated, like the thing about the uses of images and stuff and fair use and all of this stuff. And it bounces up and down, and it's going to be different and change all the time. So it's already in the handbook. It's smattered all through it. But nobody's assigned. There's no assignment. It's just it's required that the employees know about the copyright law and don't break the law. That's all it says. that they agree that they will follow copyright law. This is a question of making sure that people know what they're supposed to do and making sure it's followed.
Okay.
But, you know, in our conversations right here, you know, well, I think, and I think, and I think, and he thinks, and she thinks. We need to get, you know, descriptive, up-to-date. You know, you can use 5 words out of a poem, or you can show an image for 10 seconds, you know, whatever the law is. So
Carol,
I think
for
we
the
need to, okay, I'm done.
Okay, Carol.
I just wanted to thank everybody. I'm going to get off the call now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you in favor of this motion, Carol?
I appreciate it. I think it's great.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good night, bye, everybody. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so the other...
Sorry, I jumped the stack.
That's fine. Are there any objections to this motion? As it's currently being constructed. Okay, hearing none, the motion is passed, but with the caveat that it's going to be refined because we have information coming from at least 2 people to add to it. All right, so this motion carries. I'll send an email to the PMB in the morning with this motion. Was there another motion that we were talking about? Jim, were you going to write a motion?
I did. I sent it to you all.
What motion was that?
An addendum to I just sent it and I didn't see it come. Oh, here it is. Addendum to the motion on copyright issues. Be it resolved that the implementation and the discussion and implementation of the risks and ways to avoid intellectual property rights violations and all ramifications be implemented immediately by general managers and program directors in either staff meetings or a memorandum to their staffs in each station. In other words, you got to do it right away.
Okay. It's probably being done, but at BAI, but maybe not at other stations. Are there any objections to this addendum to the motion? Okay. Hearing none, it will be added to the original motion, and we'll send that to the PMB. Sorry, I think I interrupted you, Jim, when you were about to speak earlier. Do you remember what you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about other things that we could do to increase visibility. The button issue that has been solved by the people in KPFA, where Tom, it looks like they did a great job putting a button up for this May Day event. I personally think that we should include shows that have massive audiences, like Jimmy Dore, like the Young Turks, which we cannot broadcast on the air because of FCC rules. However, if they're appearing and happening, they would be, to me, the kind of shows that would be interesting to let people know that the Pacifica Foundation on each station is putting a link on that here's a Jimmy Dore show tonight, and you can listen to it through this link. And we're not broadcasting it on terrestrial air where we'd have all these problems with the 7 dirty words issues. But I personally think that those shows, particularly the Young Turks, they have hundreds of thousands of people listening to them. Each time they're broadcast. And these are the kind of shows that I think would sort of be in line with, you know, the kind of politics that many people in Pacifica have. But any kind of shows like that are happening that have web-based presence and YouTube-based presence, and I'm thinking, of course, you know, I'd never want to put Alex Jones on, but I'm just thinking of shows like that that have a has speak to the mission statement and speak to the need to create understanding among the you know the great aspects of the mission statement, and we could think of other things like that that could be occurring that are related to the politics we're living to as Americans right now, and frankly as human beings in the world. And another thing I think is it would be interesting to figure out is the streaming issues and the legality of that. And that is, you know, we're right now experimenting with what we're doing with this May Day thing. Well, we could figure out what are the best jazz programs in each signal area and compile them together and begin setting up a separate kind of, you know, here are the best of Pacifica's jazz stations, jazz shows from all the network, and then have that on as a separate kind of streaming button or something like that, and then soft sell monetize it, you know, like say, and if you want to donate to Pacifica, blah, blah, blah. But then you are advertised in every signal area the best jazz shows that exist. And then I would also think we should exploit the best classical music shows that exist, including taking advantage of the fact that in each of those fours, you know, you have upper middle class African Americans, and upper class African Americans tend to, in greater proportions, support jazz as an art form in their funding. This is a study that National Endowment of the Arts did years ago, and WGBO thrives. You know, there's great jazz program in the New York City area, but there's no reason why we can't enter that market aggressively too. With classical music, same kind of rules apply, except they're different. You have white upper class listeners who like to listen to classical music and opera, and there's all sorts of things that you can exploit with a creative kind of use of classical music. The question is, how do you get around these licensing issues? And that's where the issue of the CPB and the music rights agreements come in handy. But I think we have to, you know, really exploit that. I just got a subscription on a trial basis to a classical music streaming service. And it was quite fascinating to see how they market them. You know, it's something that's way beyond the capability we have. They have guys curating it. But I'm thinking about how we could reach out to music schools and start bringing young people in who have skills and let them turn them loose on these kind of things. And the issue of what we were talking about intellectual property rights, the whole resolution we passed a couple of months ago about relationships with universities, that is precisely the kind of thing we could start to do right now, is reach out to the law schools in each of our signal areas, find out who the people are who teach intellectual property rights and also digital property rights in the digital age, and ask them for advice. Ask them for help. Say, look, what is your opinion about this? Can we do this? Can we do that? We may not be able to do some of these things the way the laws are, but that is a way to start reaching out and helping and getting expert advice to come in and help us clarify navigating through these problems and avoiding any kind of ridiculous kind of out-of-the-blue hits financially that Pacifica stations may take due to the innocent actions of producers, because I consider what happened here in New York an innocent action by that particular person. Anybody could have been nailed on that one.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, anyone else for the stack? Let's see. Where are we? Let's see. Voter education. Okay, we're up to the resolution on International Holocaust Day. Jim, that's your resolution. Would you like to read it?
I'm just going to – I don't have it in front of me to read it, but I'm just going to say, you know,
Catherine raised the issue of other Holocausts, and I'm not going to dispute that at all. You know, the Holocaust of slavery, the Holocaust of indigenous peoples, genocides, et cetera. I'm not going to dispute that.
Yeah, the Armenian Holocaust, you know, there's been a lot of that.
However, I'm talking about what happened in World War II. And we always, as a network, missed the boat on something that we could easily explore and do creative shows on. Because what happened in World War II not only resulted in the death of millions of Jews, which was a deliberate state policy of the Third Reich, but resulted in the deaths of 10, you know, I forget how many, 30, 40 million civilian casualties in Europe. And, you know, there were specific attacks, and it allows one to explore and get into the questions of the kind of political roots that we're seeing in the populist movements in Europe today and in the United States. This attraction and valorization of fascism and Nazism that we're seeing in the world today. But it's an easy way for us to just simply do programming on that day, and I think it's the whole International Holocaust Day is January 27th. That's the day that Auschwitz was liberated in World War II by the Red Army. And there is absolutely no reason why we can't do all sorts of creative programming. For example, the programming.
Okay, Jim, come on.
Yeah. All right. So
let's have other people talking about it. Don't pitch the whole thing to the death.
All right.
Okay, just next time ask for the stack, just for formality. Do we have any other comments on... Well, I think it would be good if we could actually read the motion. I'm trying to find it, but I don't seem to have it.
Yeah, I'll go to the stack on it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is Ken Aaron. And I never thought I'd say this. Please don't take it personally, but okay. I completely disagree with this. The World War II Holocaust of Gypsies and Jews in Europe, there were 6 million, 20 million soldiers died and other civilians because of World War II. Stalin killed about 20 to 40 million people in the gulags in Siberia and so forth. I forget the name of the thing in China. They killed about 20 to 40 million people. The Cultural Revolution, I think they called it. You know, this goes on. And Pol Pot killed people. And, you know, if you go through a calendar, it's a cheap shot. You could always pick a tragedy for every day of the year, some kind of a massacre or a mass murder or a poisoning or a natural calamity, a catastrophe, a bridge falling down, or a hurricane, or explosion, or a volcano. You just have to look in the history books. What tragedy happened today? Today's tragedy. I think we're overdoing that and trying to exploit suffering or threats. The world's coming to an end. It's enough. We got the world coming to an end with global warming. There's a website that was, a lecture I saw. It's very interesting. 10 things that can bring an end to the world in an hour and a half. You know, meteors that might hit the earth, pandemics that can go with, like, unhandled, you know, flus and viruses that can't be stopped. You had, you know, like half of the population in Europe was killed by the Spanish flu. And, you know, a third of the population in the big cities here. This calamities throughout the world. We can't keep doing that. Morbidity, morbidity, morbidity. That's my viewpoint. We have to do the celebration of Captain Kangaroo, or the highlight the career of Milton Berle, or something else, or give an award to a great comedian or a great author, or celebrate the music from Russia, or celebrate the music from Latin America, or celebrate some great poet or something, just something positive, or give thanks for having vitamins, or give thanks for being able to eat oatmeal without getting shot. We can't keep pushing and pushing. What about all the great music we're all listening to that's happened in the last 50 years and is distributed worldwide because of technology? There's got to be some up. It can't be down, 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 the Holocaust, the Holocaust, the Holocaust, the Holocaust. You know, a lot of religions have that. And I'm part of one group that does an annual dinner for the remembrance of Tiananmen Square. And, you know, I don't know how many people got killed there, but it's in competition with, you know, the weekly mass shootings we have. There's only a small amount of people. Every week, 50 people, 100 people get killed by some terrorist attack or a wacko killing mass shooting. So it's enough of that. I don't think that the station could use that as a hallmark. And my last statement on this, my last statement before my phone runs out of power, be meetings in person where people push political solutions. And it just gets to be a tremendous burden, and you get pushed on political issues because somebody's going to stand up and self-righteously say, we have to make this declaration that we support this policy and so forth and so on. And it just gets on and on and on. It's just burdensome. I think we should avoid those kinds of things and, you know, making resolutions about things that we're all in agreement, and especially if it's a negative thing. You know, if you wanted to celebrate the completion of an Olympic Games without any incident, that would be great. Hey, the 2016 Olympic Games went off without a hitch. Let's have a party. You know, it's time for some fun, not some as opposed to grief and remorse and death and destruction. So that's my viewpoint. So don't take it personally. But that's, I just had to get that out of my system. Thank you.
Catherine, I'm putting myself on the stack. Anyone want to speak first? Okay. From my perspective, I agree with Ken. I do think we need more positive programming. I think people will respond to that. But also, I have no objection to honoring the Holocaust, but I think we're in a political environment where we have to honor the Holocaust of the Palestinian people as well. So I think that it needs to have consideration from the perspective of if we're going to designate a day, that could be the day, but I don't feel that it should be exclusively of one people. I think the destruction on our planet has been so great that we shouldn't be exclusive in who we honor, because it can easily bring forth a kind of political resentment of leaving out the other people who are currently being killed off and are struggling for their rights and their freedoms around the world. So while I agree with it in principle, it's concerning to me that it doesn't include everyone.
All right,
so that's my perspective.
This is Grace for the stack.
Okay, let's have Grace and then Jim.
Okay. You know, I agree with Ken and Catherine. I must say, however, that there are many people who appreciate the acknowledgement of the knowledge that it is the anniversary of the Holocaust or that it did happen. So I think it should be left up to the programmers to do that, not to zero in on one particular Holocaust. For instance, this year is the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. And also, I think it's the 20th anniversary of the Tiananmen massacre. So there are, as Ken said, we shouldn't be just zeroing in on one. We should be aware of these things and maybe not completely focus our programming on any one of them or even on all of them. You know, we shouldn't be all doom and gloom, but I think a recognition of them is appropriate when, you know, when it's appropriate, but not to place the Holocaust as being sacrosanct and the only human tragedy worthy of airtime or of acknowledgement.
All right, Jim, just a sec.
Go ahead, Jim.
All right. It is my experience in Pacifica for 40 years that the issues raised on this, in terms of the concentration, absolutely the Nakba is important to talk about. And it's talked about extensively. The issue of slavery is talked about extensively. And, of course, premiums are offered every marathon that deal with the impact of slavery. This issue has been boiling around in New York City ever since the infamous reading in 68 on Julius Lester's show when a kid read a poem that basically made the comment that, you know, isn't it groovy that, you know, a lot of people were turned into lampshades in World War II. And that, of course, set the stage for the next at least 50 years of that impacting negatively on BAI in particular. Now, to select January 27th, I didn't select that. That's the day the Red Army actually reached Auschwitz and liberated it. So I didn't select that day. That was selected on the ground by the force of arms in World War II, and that's why that day is selected. But we always in Pacifica, this issue of who's, you know, one, two, three, four, many Holocausts, whose Holocaust is, worse than the others. I've done programming on this myself in the past. So I'm well aware of the issues of not paying attention to other people's history, because I'm completely aware of that. But the history that I'm talking about is not simply other people's history. It affected all of the world at that time. And now, of course, in Europe, we are seeing the rise again in all the different countries of people who are, you know, and in this country also, who have a basically faulty understanding of the dynamics of the events of 75 years ago in terms of World War II. This is something that affects our politics. We saw that when Mr. Trump made his comment as to, because obviously he realizes part of his base, his more aggressive base, is indeed the people who led the charge at Charlottesville, which included people who openly were carrying swastikas and other things like that. Now, and so in terms of just simply focusing in on a stated policy of the Third Reich, which led to what occurred, there's all sorts of creative ways to look at it, but I really think it is a mistake for Pacifica as a foundation, and in particular since it's founded by people who were imprisoned as conscientious objectors in World War II, released and
including the founder.
That's right, including the founder, and they come up with their mission statement after the war in the wake of an even more dangerous Holocaust, that is nuclear destruction, which is another dimension. But, you know, I think that, you know, the issue of racism is a wide one in World War II. And it's just, and yes, it's not just, focused in on European Jewry. It has global ramifications. So to say that I'm just, you know, picking this as a date to just deal with this issue would be incorrect, because we deal with the other issues of other Holocausts continually as a network. And this particular issue is one which is rather timely, given the political dynamics we're in this country as Americans and also as people looking at what's occurring in Europe. We could have neo-Nazi, neo-fascist governments take power in France, Italy, Hungary. In fact, they've already taken power in Italy and Hungary and Poland, etc. And so this is not a, this is a serious issue to confront, and I think that the lack of historical knowledge is part of raising it too. So I think I disagree with all three of you completely. And, you know, I think it's something that we have to address, and it's only to the benefit of Pacifica as a whole, because we are always focusing in on the other issues, and we should. That's what we should do all the time. To just do February as Black History Month is ridiculous. It should be every goddamn month, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, that's my feeling about this. You know, this is just a day that particularly to me is vivid, since I know people and grew up with people who actually went into the concentration camps and liberated people in World War II. So to me, it's not an abstraction. It's a reality, at least as they conveyed it to me as a kid. So I just think it's an important thing for Pacifica to do, and it's a mistake politically for us to avoid dealing with it.
Okay, so we don't have the motion before us to vote on it. I'm looking through my computer to try to find it. I haven't found it yet. So if you want to bring it to the table, can you look into your computer and find it?
I was trying to, but I can't find it.
Okay. So I think it would make more sense to resolve these differences before voting on it, in the sense that what you're speaking of is not resembling what I remember of the motion. You know, because you're talking about a much broader perspective in terms of looking at fascism in the world now, which, if you look at the current mode of fascism, a lot of it has to do with immigration. A lot of it has to do with people of color. You know, we have, people in Congress talking about, you know, we don't want immigrants because it's going to change the complexion of our communities and our schools. So I don't see it as a uniquely Jewish issue. So I wouldn't necessarily vote for it if it is so exclusive. So I think it's something that we need to look at from the perspective of crafting something that allows the stations to choose how they want to address these issues, but encouraging them to do it, be it the Holocaust or the Armenian Genocide or Tiananmen Square. Because I think one thing for you to think about, Jim, is that where I understand exactly what you're talking about, there are people right now who are in that position of being exterminated right now. So I don't see how we can do something on extermination of people and ignore what's happening right now.
All right, Jim Destack.
Go ahead, Jim.
I will. And also, obviously, we shouldn't exclude things that are going on right now. I totally agree with you on that. And the issue of World War II is not just affecting Jews. It was a war, global war, okay? And, you know, the Japanese, you have all sorts of questions of colonialism, et cetera. But I'm not raising those issues to minimize the singularity of what occurred in Europe. To me, that has all sorts of dimensions, and racism is indeed part of it. And then if you raise the issue of immigration, the question of miscegenation and the presence of a foreign evil host that could impregnate the purity of the nation, well, that's what was going on in Europe in the 30s and during the war itself, when they implemented the destruction of all their enemies, including the Jews, the Soviets, et cetera. And so, you know, the issue, the body count issues, you know, I'm totally familiar with these issues as a historian of, you know, talking about what happened in China during the Cultural Revolution, during the Great Leap Forward, frankly. That's where the The biggest amount of deaths occurred in Mao's reform. You talk about the Soviet Union, you could talk about the Ukrainian famine, you could talk about the purge of Stalin, etc. That I all understand. And I went through these debates, I've listened to these debates, etc., etc. And we always are focusing in on these debates as stations to the point where we tend to ignore what happened in these things. And now we're being confronted in the reality of politics by not only these formations of these movements in Europe, but in the United States. I don't have to tell you, we've all seen this stuff on TV. So that's why I'm saying that this is something to, as a particular focus of a date, okay, January 27th, the liberation of Auschwitz, a place where 1.2 to 1.5 million people were mechanically exterminated in machines, okay? That's a sort of unique kind of situation that's different from these other exterminations. And I know that. I know all about these other things, and I know that Pacifica and BAI always deal with these issues, and that's to their benefit, and that's to their credit. However, in the process of going through different kind of permutations about how they understand these events in World War II, we've moved to the point where the dynamics of that history have essentially been blurred, minimized, and localized, and that's why I'm putting forth a resolution like this.
This is Ken to the stack.
I'm sorry.
Grace is on the stack.
No, I wasn't on the stack, but I'd like to move that we adjourn and postpone this till the next meeting because we've been talking for a very long time.
All right.
And I don't think we're going to come to any kind of a resolution tonight.
No, we're not.
So can we just postpone this and take it up in the next meeting?
All right.
Yeah, since we're out of time. Yeah.
All right, and
okay,
why don't
I cut you off, Ken? Ken's used to that.
Yeah, that's fine. I agree.
Ken agrees with me. I can't believe it.
All right.
That's unusual. An hour long.
All right. All right.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm not hanging up quite yet. I understand where you're coming from. I absolutely do. And I have no problem with commemorating this date. I guess I don't see. I understand that you are seeing this coverage all over the place. Maybe it is there. I haven't been paying attention to it that much, so I haven't been seeing it.
All right.
But okay. Go ahead.
All right. All right. I just want to suggest that for the next meeting, which is established on the 7th, by then, of course, we'll probably have better ideas who's on this committee, but I will bring on the phone call. I'll try to bring this guy Rosen on to talk about how Pacifica can cover the presidential campaign. Would you guys agree on that? If I could do that or bring somebody in like that to talk to us.
Sure. I think that
I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll try.
That would be fine.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And that'll be a good way if people are coming on, we can sort of have something interesting for people to participate in.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And if you can find that motion, please send it to us.
I will. I will.
Okay. All right, thank you. We're adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you, Catherine. Bye-bye.
Bye.